inadvertently busting Class E airspace, and what's on your Christmas list? I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. Bob also operates a flight school in the Buffalo, New York area. We're here to talk today about something that doesn't make headlines a lot, but it's busts of Class E airspace. I think everybody worries about TFRs, and maybe at a level below that worries about busting Class B or Class C. But E's get busted a lot more than any of those do. And Bob, thanks for being with us to talk about it today.
Well, I'm excited to talk with you about this, Paul. This is a very, very important subject, and one that's near and dear to my heart because of our location near a big Class C airport.
Well, and Bob, I trained at an airport that was untowered, was surrounded by a bunch of other untowered airports. But I also had occasions to overfly airports that where this might have been a bigger deal. And it occurred to me that, you know, a lot of small airports probably have people traverse their airspace all the time without taking the proper precautions.
Well, the particular problem that we're alluding to here is just for our listeners, if we can just imagine the following scenario. We're a non-towered airport just in fairly close proximity to a Class B, C, or D airport. And so our operations, if we're not careful, can impede or interfere with instrument arrivals into those nearby airports. Now, if we all just think back to our primary training days when we learned the National Airspace System, let's just remember that Class G airspace exists from the surface to 700 feet in most airports that surround larger airports. These are airports inside the magenta fade on the sectional. So let's just keep this in mind. In Class G airspace, that goes up to just 700 feet. And in that airspace, we're free to fly clear of clouds with 1 mile visibility. Mm-hmm. Also, at those very same airports, the traffic pattern typically goes up to 800 or 1,000 feet above the surface. So we'll have a cloudy day, and a pilot will say, well, I'm just going to fly in the traffic pattern. The cloud bases may be right at 1,000 feet, but I can just stay under those bases and remain in the pattern and be just fine. But remember, when they're up above 700 feet in the traffic pattern, they are now in Class E airspace.
Right.
And Class E airspace requires us to have 3 miles of visibility, and we must remain 500 feet below the clouds. So that puts us in a scenario that lest we know that, we could be in Class E airspace and just traversing the bases of the clouds, while instrument flights flying overhead might be just a few hundred feet above us, and their traffic collision alert systems are going off. They're getting target advisories, conflict advisories, and it's all caused by us flying in space that we should not be in at that particular in those particular weather conditions. So this is the classic Class E bust. And as I wrote in the article this month, someday we're going to have a catastrophic event where we have an airliner on approach just a little lower than he's supposed to be, and a GA pilot above his airport in the traffic pattern just a little higher than he should be, and we could have a catastrophe, all because of this Class E bust.
Is this primarily, Bob, an issue that's going to be brought on by weather conditions in your mind?
Yes, that's exactly what it's brought on by. It's only really a factor when the ceilings are very low. When the ceilings are up high or clear skies, we always have the see and avoid. That rule trumps all others. No matter what the airspace is, the pilot has a responsibility to look out the window, see and avoid other traffic. But when the cloud bases are just at 1,000 feet and we're in the traffic pattern, say, at 900 feet, thinking that all we have to do is remain clear of clouds, that is not the case. We have to be 500 feet below those clouds. And the only time, as I mentioned earlier, that this is going to be a real problem is if we have an instrument arrival that's running just a little lower than he's supposed to be, still in the clouds, and we have one of us a little bit higher than we're supposed to be skimming the bases. without that requisite 500 feet visibility clearance, that's when we're going to have the problem.
Well, I guess it's incumbent on all of us to brush up on airspace any time that we're going to be flying into a new area. I know that I flew for a couple of years around the airports in which I trained, and there was not really any place I can think of where this was an issue.
Well, you live out there in the Golden West, but back here in the Rust Belt, believe me, we have one Class C airport right after another, usually spaced 50 to 60 miles apart, sometimes far closer. But here in Buffalo, we have three local airports that are very busy that exist under the Class C shelf, that outer ring. And this is where we have a real problem. And this exists in many areas of the East where we have lots of small non-towered fields in close proximity. And I think if you ask, and I certainly have air traffic controllers who work in these Class C facilities, they're concerned about those of us who just pop up on their radar screen without a call, unable to see IFR traffic that is just immediately above their pattern. And then the controllers are being barked at by airline crews that are getting traffic advisories by their TCAS system that were not called out ahead of time by ATC. And again, this all goes back to the hapless GA pilot who busted that class E airspace. On this subject, you know, I do biennial flight reviews, probably two, maybe three a month. People who that I'm very pleased to serve and very pleased to have come over to the airport to work with me in this regard. And my favorite topic is the National Airspace System and the sectional. And I am appalled. I really am at the almost the universal failure of pilots that I see every day to recognize the limits imposed upon them by the sectional.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that they probably studied long ago as part of their private pilot check ride and really haven't looked at since.
Well, I can say that especially when I don't fly for a while, it takes me some brushing up before I feel really comfortable dealing with those things again. Well, Bob, we are in an interesting time of year. This Thursday is Thanksgiving, and the day after is considered the traditional onrush of the Christmas shopping season, at least in the U.S. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk about pilot Christmas lists just a little bit with you. Bob Miller is my guest. You're listening to a special feature from AeroNews.
Do you feel stimulated? Hey, that's why Congress passed the Economic Stimulus Act of 2008, so loyal Americans like yourself would feel stimulated to help rev up the economy by spending money on important stuff like new Garmin avionics. We're talking potential tax incentives, bonus depreciation up to 50% in first-year cost allowances for qualified business use equipment purchases. See your tax advisor for guidance and your Garmin dealer for one whale of a stimulus package. It's almost like your patriotic duty, huh? Garmin, follow the leader.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR20 G2. Interested in a substantial airplane that remains practical and affordable? Whether you're a non-pilot looking to begin flying lessons, a pilot needing personal transportation, or a fleet customer selecting the best plane to meet the demands of a multiple aircraft operation, consider the SR20 G2. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, the journal for the proficient pilot. And Bob, I wanted to take a lighthearted moment for just a second here in this one and talk about what we should ask for on our Christmas list this year as pilots. And I don't want to limit this just to that new Breitling watch. But what are some things that we should wish for during this time of year? And feel free to wax philosophical if you want a little bit. What would you like to see happen if you could have whatever you wanted for Christmas?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a loving wife who is very concerned about the safety of her husband as I'm out flying around sometimes in older, ill-equipped airplanes or poorly equipped airplanes. Several years ago, she gave me a gift that just keeps on giving. And that was, at the time, it was a Garmin 296. Now there's 396, 496s. But I think every pilot aloft needs to have GPS capability in the airplane. And with that GPS capability comes the option for terrain or terrain awareness and traffic awareness and weather advisory through uplink weather. I think that would be a wish that I would hope every pilot would have in their airplane, just to have that kind of technology available. It's an expensive item, perhaps, for all of us to have that kind of a gift. We're talking $1,500 to $2,000 for a good unit, but that would be list item number one for me.
Bob, maybe this is old-fashioned, but does anybody actually give the gift of flight anymore?
I did have a spouse call me last year whose husband did not fly as frequently as he wanted to. She called me and said, how much would it cost to give my husband 10 hours of recurrent training?
Ah.
I said, and I gave her my hourly rate. I knocked it down because she was a friend a little bit. She sent me a check and then told her husband, call Bob, and he's got 10 hours of recurrent training for you. And so I thought that was a very useful gift, and he seemed to benefit from it. This is something that is easily given. Spouses usually know who their husbands or their wives' flight instructors are and where they do get their training, so get a gift certificate in that regard.
Well, and for that matter, if you're looking for something in that price range, this would be a great time of year to consider making someone's dream of flying come true. You could do the same thing with primary training.
Oh, I get requests probably maybe two a week, three a week, from individuals who read our advertising. You know, we advertise in the local media, and they say, you know, can I get a gift certificate for my husband or for my wife to take a discovery flight or an introductory flight? I had one call it the empty the bucket list. You know, there's a popular movie out, something, the bucket list. You know,
yeah.
My husband's 82 years old, and he's always wanted to fly an airplane. Can you help him out, Mr. Miller? I said, sure, you know. And I said, let me take your husband up for an hour. Here's what it's going to cost, and I'll shoot you a gift certificate in the mail or via email or whatever. Those are nice gifts, Father's Day gifts. I got a lot of those where individuals say, you know, I'd like to see my father have a day or an hour in an airplane. Can you help me out in that regard? And that's just not us. I mean, you can, any of our listeners can suggest to their spouse, you know, this is who you call. This is the nearest flight school. Give them a call and offer this up as a gift certificate, not only for themselves, but for others, you know, their relatives, their fathers, their brothers or sisters, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Cindy, if you're listening, it's spelled B-R-E-I-T-L-I-N-G. No, it is. Well, I would point out, too, that for the more budget-minded shopper, no one is unable to afford a year's subscription to Over the Airwaves, the Journal for the Proficient Pilot.
Well, thank you, Paul. That subscription, as you know, is absolutely free, and I would sure love to have those put out more. That'd be great.
Well, Bob, I can't believe it's already December coming up here. We will talk to you next Monday.
Thanks so much, Paul.
You can find out more about Bob Miller, his writings, and Bob Miller Flight Training Incorporated at overtheairwaves.com. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.